Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Wednesday, September the 4th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 52, the third paragraph down, when we saw others solve their problems, and we'll be reading that one short paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Ann K., the 12 Traditions, Lorraine N., and the readers of the text, Penny L. C., Robin D. Z., and Leslie M. And the share ID for Tuesday, September the 3rd, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,352. That's 13352. And for the Wednesday meeting, September 4th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,358. That's 13358. The newcomer greeter is Nan K., and the announcements person is Leslie W. Thank you all for your service. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Ann K. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Ann. Press star 1 to unmute, Ann.
Good morning. This is Ann K., grateful recovering eater. May I be heard?
You are heard now. Thank you, Ann.
Okay, thank you. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
And thank you, Ann K. And I will now ask Lorraine N. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Mo. Lorraine N. from Oregon, recovering compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you, Macass.
And thank you, Lorraine N. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on the topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone again. And that's the star 1 button, not the mute button on your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speaker's, should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 52. The third paragraph down, when we saw others solve their problems, and it ends with, but the God idea did. And I will now ask Penny LC to get us started. Good morning, Penny.
Thank you, Mo, for your service. Good morning, Mo, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And this is the Big Book. When we saw others solve their problems by a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe, we had to stop doubting the power of God. Our ideas did not work, but the God idea did. And I reflect on the paragraph ahead, which presented me with all of my problems. And I'm faced with that. But then I'm offered a solution, a simple solution. Consider a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe. You know, God can use all of that pain and difficulty that I was living in to bring me through to a new way. If I'm willing and open about my truth and willing to look at something as a different way of approaching life. And my ideas hadn't worked. I had tried door number 1. I got misery. I tried door number 2. I got depression. You know, I think I'll try door number 3. this power of God. I had living problems that I could not solve, but my higher power can solve them for me. All I have to do is be willing, surrender my will, be open to new ideas, and trust. And the beautiful part is that I've got so many examples around me that I'm hearing every day when I stay close to the solution in others where the problem has been solved. And it gives me that hope and that inspiration that I can have my problem solved so long as I'm willing to do the work. And that's the beautiful part also, is that this book outlines how to get there, how to achieve it. But the first thing I need to do is let go of self-reliance, let go of my self-centeredness, and be willing to consider being God-centered. Simple solution. And I'm grateful that I'm living in it today. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you very much. Oh, God, I was daydreaming here. Thank you very much, Penny Elsie, for getting us started. I'll remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 52, the third paragraph, when we saw others solve their problems. And I will now open the lines up for taking names of those who'd like to share.
Laura W.
Freedom H.
I heard Laura W.
Freedom H.
I got you, Freedom.
Leslie M.
I heard Leslie M.
Bernie W.
There was a guy. Is that Bernie?
Yes, not a guy.
Okay, sorry. Bernie okay. W. Did I hear a gentleman's voice?
Julie P.
No. Okay, who's next?
Robin DZ.
Robin DZ. Okay, got you, Robin.
Mags C.
Mags. Okay, got you, Mags. Okay, we'll stop there. Robin DZ. I think it was Laura W., Freedom H., Leslie M., Bernie W., Robin DZ., and Mag C. Laura, I may not have your first initial correct. So, Laura, you're up with Freedom H. following.
Thanks, Mo. Good morning. You got it right. It's Laura W., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. This is such a small, power-packed paragraph. And when I first read it, I remember years ago, I just kind of skipped through it. It was a short paragraph. And when I break it down today, gosh, it is just so important for me to remember that the way that I was living my life was disastrous. And when I saw other people solve their problems, it says, it doesn't say, first of all, it doesn't say one problem. It says problems, plural. And it also doesn't say when we saw other people get sober, when we saw other people get abstinent, it doesn't say that because there's so much more to this program than just abstinence. Abstinence is great. It's important and it's just the beginning. But, you know, the real, where the rubber really meets the road for me is, you know, relying on a power greater than myself to take away those defects that were driving me to destructive behavior, and it was driving me to destroy relationships, and, you know, such as fear and anger and resentment and jealousy and all of these defects that do not do anything for me anymore. They only do things to me when they pop up, and they do. They pop up, and the big book tells me when they pop up, but you know, this whole program is spiritual. There's no part of this program that's spiritual. When I hear people say, I just can't get the God thing, first of all, it doesn't have to use the word God. This big book doesn't tell me that I need to have God in my life. It tells me that I need a power greater than myself, because the way that I was running the show, I was driving my life into the ground. And if I ask myself over and over, you know, I just celebrated 15 years of back-to-back abstinence and recovery, more than just abstinence, and recovery, where I'm working these steps year after year after year. And, you know, I can honestly say, even though life happens and tragedies happen and things happen that are not great, My life today is better than it was last year, and better than it was the year before, and better than it was the year before, even though, you know, things have happened that I don't like. But, you know, this, when I rely on my higher power, the spirit of the universe, whatever you want to call it, when I rely on God and not myself, I have to doubt. I have to stop doubting the power of God. There's no greater proof that God exists than the fact that I'm standing here with you on this line, abstinent, sober, and working the steps one day at a time. I can argue with people all day long, but there's no better proof for me. So the God idea definitely works for me, and whatever your higher power is, it'll work for you. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
And thank you, Laura W. Freedom H, followed by Leslie M. Good morning, Freedom.
Thank you so much for everything. Thank you for all everyone's service. I'm starting to realize that I am still dealing and still trying to be in this disease. And I've been trying to take everybody else's inventory and it snuck up upon me. And I wasn't even aware I've been doing it. And it's very baffling, very tricking. But I'm here today to heal from my disease, and to learn and grow and have a chance that I didn't have growing up. So I like to put here where it says reliance upon the spirit of the universe. I personally like to put reliance upon the spirit of the creator. Because he created me, so he only knows how to help me. Nobody else is going to be able to do that. And I'm just thankful for this program. I'm thankful for this book to educate myself. And, I can't solve anybody else's problems, but I do need to put the focus back on me. And it's got to be a me program. I mean, not that it's a we program, but it's also a me program that I, Freedom, have to focus on me. And it doesn't matter what anybody else does. It doesn't matter. I'm not here to play God. I'm not here to play creator. I'm not here to play let's fix it. That's not my place in life. And that's what I've been brainwashed and by religious and different people with their ideas since I was a young child, that everything is that other people's business is my responsibility. And it comes down to the point that it's not. The only business that's my responsibility is my own. And my business is to get healthy, to heal, and whatever steps I need to take, which the 12 steps is a beautiful way to start, then that's what I need to do. So with that, I'll mute. Thank you.
And thank you, Freedom H. Leslie M., followed by Bernie W.
Good morning, Mo H. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. And the part that really spoke to me was our ideas did not work, but the God idea did. I know for myself that I have been I've been in OA for 29 years this year, and I now have 18 months of abstinence and recovery under my belt, and I'm very, very grateful for that. But I realized that, you know, I was working the program Leslie's way. I wasn't going from, trying to have a spiritual experience. I was having a diet with group support. I was having, setting a food plan and a weight goal, a weight loss goal. And this time around, when I finally said, well, this book says it's going to take me to having a relationship and a connection to a power greater than myself that's going to solve my problem. And it has. And it says when the spiritual malady is solved, then the physical and the mental follow right along. And that's exactly what I found. You know, someone earlier shared that, you know, the God part or the spiritual part of the program, it's a spiritual program that requires it's a spiritual malady that requires a spiritual solution, you know. And I'm glad that I could finally see that in this book and take the necessary actions to get me there and continue to take those actions day by day to continue to stay, in this recovered state. So You know, it doesn't matter. You know, the thing that I find really fascinating is that we can all use the word God or whatever we choose to use. But those of us who use the word God, we can all have a different conception of that God as long as it works for us. It doesn't matter what it is, you know. And I have just found that, you know, by doing this work day by day, you know, my faith that my higher power, whom I choose to call God, it taking care of me is just so much, it just gets stronger all the time. You know, I see in such little ways and in big ways how things are just working out the way they're supposed to, not the way that I need them to. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie M. Bernie W., followed by Robin DZ. Morning, Bernie.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Pennsylvania. And this paragraph was very powerful to me, especially like the reliance on the power of the universe and that our ideas did not work. I know, I don't know how all this works, but I only know that it does, and it's worked for me. And I also know if I stop relying on God and the power that helps me to do this work, to make those phone calls, to get out of my head and out of my fear and my control and my ego, that restless, irritable, discontent feeling, it just floods back like so quickly, like in an instant. It's there when I get into myself. And I don't know why I do that. I don't know why I slack off. But I'm so thankful that I recognized it and quickly turned back to the work, to the relationships with others, through phone calls, but most important, with my time with God. And I stay sane for today. And I'm so thankful that I hear that still, small voice before I go too far, before I take that destructive first bite. And I've come to realize that life with God is a becoming. It comes through time and experience, and that eventually I'll naturally express those feelings of love, joy, peace, patience. And I want to be that person. I want my mind to be reprogrammed so that I get rid of those deeply ingrained habits, patterns of my past, and that I know only a higher power can do that for me. Left to myself, I'm lost. Thank you for letting me share.
And thank you very much, Bernie W. Robin DZ, followed by Mag C.
This is Robin DZ from Simpsonville, South Carolina. Can I be heard?
Yes, Robin.
Okay. This paragraph, it urges me to look at the record found in the pages of this book and in the groups. It encourages me to accept the proof that can be seen with my eyes and the validation and the affirmation of the testimonies I hear with my ears, to face the fact that all self-attempt to stop alone does not bring about a lasting change, and to stop doubting and acknowledge that those who rely on the spirit of the universe for help do recover and stay recovered. And to me, this paragraph says that faith and trust in the help of a higher power is the only logical answer. And with that, I pass.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Robin DZ. Before we get to Mag C, remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 52, third paragraph down. We saw others solve their problems. We're just reading that one short paragraph. And after Mags, we'll take more names. Good morning, Mags.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody from Denver, Colorado. This is Mags, recovered overeater. And, you know, when we're going through this chapter on the agnostics, or we agnostics, I was just thinking to myself today, I was like, I deserve to look at food as some kind of beautiful nourishment for me. I deserve to see exercise as not some kind of torture that I absolutely have to do, but some kind of nourishment for my body. I've tortured this body so much, just like so many of us have. And, oh my God, my poor body has been through so much and deserves better from me. And so when I read this paragraph, and y'all know that I'm a practicing agnostic, whatever that means, but simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe is just beautiful. And for me, I call spirit of the universe just the beauty of reality. We had to stop doubting the power of that. Our ideas didn't work, but that idea did, and it does for me. And I'm sad I missed yesterday because I love the bedevilments, because that is key. Those things, the misery, the grief, you know, great times of sadness and fear, that emotional buildup, which can happen at any time on any given day, right, leads to that mental twist in me that says, oh, maybe just one package of caramel corn, you know, or whatever. And then all of a sudden, bam, I'm there. I'm there at the store getting the stuff, and it's in my hand. So that's that habit, but it's that those emotions that are just so strong, they feel like they're going to kill me, despite what I know is that I can sit with these, and I learn through the steps how to sit with these. And I have to get real, really quick, but yesterday with the hurricane threatening people in places that I love, and hearing the 911 calls from that stupid California dive boat, it kills me. And my mind switched immediately and attached onto the helplessness of those people. I'm sorry if I'm bringing this up and triggering people. I apologize. But I went to 9/11. I went straight to the Twin Towers. And I thought, oh, my God, I have to help those people. This has happened years ago. And that dive boat happened just last night or two nights ago.
I think it's time.
Oh, thank you. So and let me just finish this one thing. So I felt the urge to go there and do something because that's how I treated my emotions before. And now, because of the steps, I know I can sit and I can breathe through those emotions. And I have people to reach out and call. Thanks, Mo. And
all right.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
All right. All right. I'll now open the lines up for more people who'd like to share.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O.
Sherry Cordina L.
Sherry. Who was after Sherry?
Reggie.
Michelle.
Reggie.
Michelle.
Michelle. I got Michelle. Who was that? Michelle what?
Jay.
Michelle Jay.
Margaret B.
Margaret.
Patty.
Margot P. And one more.
Beatrice O.
Beatrice. Okay, that's it. All right, Kathleen O, Sherry K. B., Reggie O., Michelle J., Margot P., and Beatrice O. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, Mo. Thanks for your service this morning, and good to be on the line with all of you.
Mm-hmm.
This is Kathleen O., recovered in Northern California. And when I came into the 12 steps for a solution to my eating problem, I did see and hear others who had solved their problems by a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe. And I did think it was kind of an odd concept, but I was desperate. My ideas were numerous and years of failure to fix what was wrong with me. You know, I was sick and tired of being sick and tired of going on diets, depriving myself, white knuckling, sometimes successful, but most of the time a failure, and always gaining any weight I'd lost back plus more. I just kept getting fatter and fatter and more miserable. So I realized I had two choices. I could stay on the path that always led me to nowhere, that more misery, or I could stop doubting the power of God and take the God path. It's like, what did I have to lose? And what I lost was all the weight that made me unhealthy, but that was really only the icing on the cake. I no longer have to eat when I experience fear, resentments, anxiety, stress, things not going my way, people not following my script. I used to eat over all those. I don't have to do that anymore. And this God idea, you know, it's my conception of God. We all have a unique conception of God. So try it because it really does work. I mean, I was skeptical and very surprised. And when I keep my mind, body, the mind, body, God connection and take God to the table, I don't want to overeat. I choose foods that nourish my body and my soul. And I feel light and energetic by the foods I eat rather than stuffed and sluggish when I'm finished eating. And that is a miracle. So, and when I ask God for direction in life, I make the right choices. You know, I can let go of resentments when they come up. I can let go of fear when it surfaces. And with the help of God, I can let go of these quickly. And then I have the time and space to be useful in life, which really is what brings joy and happiness. And, you know, so faith is that of which there is no evidence. I had to ask myself, do I have faith in that God will guide me and help me in everything? And when I trust that God's going to guide me, I'm miraculously guided to do the right thing. So if your ideas aren't working, try the God idea, because you might be pleasantly surprised, and it really does work. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen O. Sherry KB, followed by Reggie O. Sherry, good morning.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everybody. Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Mo, and everybody on the line, and welcome newcomers. And I'm just going to dive right in here. You know, we have been reading up to more about alcoholism was all about the eating problem. Now we're in the problem of deciding door number one or door number two, because now we need to look at the other problem, which is that no human aid can relieve me of my compulsive overeating. So either I'm going to take door number one or door number two, and I don't have a door number three, because if I'm a true compulsive overeater, which I am, I either am going to go on to plodding on to the bitter end with my ideas, with my self-will, or I'm going to take the God idea. And this is, to me, is what it's talking about. Because right, the paragraph before, this was talking about all our problems. This is what, to me, is the mental obsession. You know, this is all the problems going on between my ears. So now it's talking to me, Sherry. You know, you're going to put the food down. That problem solved. But what about all the other problems that went on in your head that caused you to want to go eat in the first place? Because if you're a real, true compulsive overeater, you know, full reliance, you need to fully rely on your higher power, because you can't do it by yourself. So the problem is am I going to rely on me? Am I going to rely on God? And I've got to rely on that spirit of the universe, because my ideas didn't work. But the God idea does. And I know that from here on out that my director is my higher power, not a donut, not any other food, but I turn to my higher power for everything. And lately, there's been a lot going on, and it's been pretty upsetting. And you know what? I can still remain calm and at peace because I'm relying on God, and God's holding me rather than the food, which I'd be so miserable, so unhappy. Face down in the food. And this teaches me, too, that when I rely on my higher power, I don't have to be face down in my emotions, because my higher power is there to hold me up, to help me, to guide and direct me. And that, you know, it's saying here that my higher power is going to solve all my problems. I don't know about you, but I certainly couldn't solve all my problems before doing this work, doing the 12 steps, getting in this book. Because what solved my problem was the next baker box or whatever else, and it surely made me fat, miserable, and unhappy, and that's what my disease wants. But the God idea wants me happy, joyous, and free, and I'll take that any day, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Reggie O, followed by Michelle J. Reggie O.
Hi, good morning, Mo. Thanks so much for your service this morning. It's great to be here. Thank you, everybody, for these wonderful shares. And and I am Reggie O. So gratefully recovered this morning in the Los Angeles area. And I wasn't going to get on the phone this morning, and I wasn't going to share. But this paragraph, this little paragraph, you know, I have the solution written out in the margin of my book here, you know, when we saw others solve their problems by a simple reliance upon the power of the universe. You know, that in itself, I mean, it basically tells us, which that's what the book's all about, you know, the solution to, yes, putting down the food and keeping it down, but the only way to do that is how, you know, how I live and how I live in a spiritual solution and with a simple reliance upon, I love the language here, upon the spirit of the universe. And then in the next paragraph, we had to stop doubting the power of God. It really brings in so many things and such an experience. The simplicity stood out for me. Simple, you know, simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe. And, you know, I'm one of those who have, my life has been able to complicate just about anything and wanted to figure things out and get the answers and understand down to the, you know, down to the nth degree what this was all about before I could, you know, before I could really accept it. And I just complicated things, you know, I mean, that is, and it says many times in the big book, you know, this kind of mental overwork and trying to figure things out, just never works. It keeps me from this beautiful, very simple solution, this beautiful, very simple solution that is right here laid out in the steps if I but follow them and listen to all of you, because when I'm in the book and when I'm listening to all of you in the morning, it just opens, it's like the windows open and all this fresh air and sunshine comes in, you know, that I might not have thought of myself. So what a gift. And you know, it reminds me of that, I can't remember what it's called, but when two or more people come together, you know, with God at the center for a spiritual purpose, amazing things happen. And we have hundreds and thousands. I feel so blessed this morning, and pray to keep that simplicity that this paragraph talks about. And, you know, yeah, idea is great, but, you know, I keep turning to God, and, you know, my solution is to have that consciousness, you know, more and more and more and more with everything I do, from the simple to the more complex. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Reggie O. Michelle J., followed by Margot P. Michelle, good morning.
Good morning, Mo, and all my lovely fellows. I'm Michelle J., a compulsive overeater, recovered every day by the grace and mercy of God here in Arkansas. Any Hoosiers? So I was thinking about that self-reliance, and that seems to be the muscle that in the year I've been in program is the one that I have to work the hardest every day to gain. And it helped me to understand myself a little bit, to understand that, you know, growing up, the first 5 years of my life, my mother was institutionalized, most of that, or somewhat, 3 years, three times for that. And my father left when I was three, and I didn't have anybody to take care of me that I can remember, you know. And at five, when I'm in the hospital having my appendix out in 1965, which is kind of archaic back then, there wasn't anybody there to hold my hand. So things like that, you know. So now that I'm almost 60, no wonder it's tough for me. I mean, I was on my own when I was 16, 17 years old and put myself through college. And that self-reliance, sure, I survived and I got through, but I didn't get through well. And so now this past year with program, it is such a joy to release and relinquish. You know, I don't have to hold the world anymore, at least try to hold the world. And God comes through, and it's an everyday thing. I mean, no matter what the food issues are or life and emotional issues are, I just get up every day and I try to relinquish and try to let go. And it's only God's helped me, you know, to do that. But boy, he sure keeps coming through every time. And that muscle is growing stronger and stronger. And I hope that gives hope to some of you out there who still trying to hold on to the reins and or hold on to the steering wheel, whichever you relate best with. But just let go and let God. And by gum, he comes through every time. And with that, I'll thank you all very much for your patience and letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Michelle J. Margot P., followed by Beatrice O. Margot.
Good morning, everyone. Margot P., grateful to be here in this call. Another day of abstinence. I mean, everybody's sharing, like, my story, and I say, well, I don't have to share. I already heard what I needed to hear. But, you know, when I hear this paragraph about the spirit of the universe and doubting my higher power, and the idea that I did a lot of that, different ideas of work, a full plan, diet plan, And I replaced all that was with food, and food was the God of me. God, just that food was God for me. And I didn't realize what I was doing. I was going crazy. I would do a lot of drive-through. I did a lot of spending money by driving through because I didn't want to cook no food. I didn't want to do nothing. And it's amazing that coming into this program, it's amazing. All I can know, there's a simple solution. When they say the simple solution with the big book, and even though I don't understand the language, some of the language of the wording of the big book, but I'm trying with my sponsor, and it's grateful to hear the sponsee and to hear everyone. And this is like, wow, because I remember I did a lot of drive-through day and night. And doubting, I mean, when I doubt, it's like, I doubt with a lot of diet, and then I did it my way, it never worked. So I'm just grateful that I have a program today and a vision for you and everyone sharing. I love it. So everyone have a good day and an abstinent day. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Margo P. And we're going to have time for more shares, maybe for more after Beatrice O. Beatrice.
Good morning. This is Beatrice O. from Northern California recovering. And the stop doubting is what takes me back to the food. The minute I start doubting God and the power of God, I'm in my disease. I came into this program pretty self-reliant. I grew up in horror, and I overcame a lot. And then when I got here, I was told I needed to rely on God. And I couldn't do it for a long time. For about 3 years, I doubted that God would remove this disease. And so, but what I did rely on, I relied on a food plan that I was given. I relied on that backpack of perfection that I carried around. And when I lost weight, I believed in the food plan more than I believed in God. And so when I step away from God and I start doing things on my own, that self-reliance, and I don't trust God, and I put my sponsors on pedestals, and I look at the superstars in this program, and I still have a love affair with food, but I'm following the food plan because I have a free will every morning. I have a choice to rely on God for my problems today, or, you know, rely on food. And I had a sponsor that passed away. She was a sponsor for a long time. She was like my second mom, and she always used to tell me, B, you need to frog it, B, you need to frog it. And frog it was the acronym for fully relying on God. So, you know, because I have free will, you know, if I choose to eat, God's not going to stop me. Because it's a choice I'm making. Because I'm not choosing God, I'm choosing food as my power so that I can disassociate and deal with today's troubles. So I have to stop doubting, and I have to believe. And the last thing I'll say is, when I see people who are not doubting anymore and they have that spirit of the universe, I could see God radiate through them. And the last thing I have to say is, you know, this disease is a soul killer. And so I have to fully rely on God. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. So we now have time. I can take two more shares.
Irene.
Who else?
Myra.
Myra. I got Myra.
Yes.
I got Tom C.
Myra. Okay, so we'll go with that. Sorry about you others. Tomorrow is another day. Irene B. Press star one, Irene. Can't hear you.
Sorry. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your service. I am Irene B., very gratefully recovering bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I am so thankful for the opportunity to share because self-reliance got me nowhere. And the trauma in my early life that I thought was irrelevant, I'm learning that it isn't irrelevant. I used to ignore it because it didn't matter. It was in the past. My life was different now, but it did matter. And I came into OA 2 years ago. And today is my 29-month anniversary. $1 million worth of therapy did not get me recovered because I would get stuck and I couldn't get beyond the place where I was. And I came into OA and God relieved me miraculously and supernaturally from my obsession with food. He got me abstinent, and it's a long story, but he did. And I had never done that in my entire life. $1 million worth of therapy didn't do it. But when I came into OA, I have been able to stay abstinent. And they told me that the eating disorder was just the tip of the iceberg, that that was not the problem, but a symptom of the problem. I've come to find out that the problem lies in my core beliefs that are embedded deep inside my reptilian brain. And I have been using so much affirmations and trying to do positive self-talk and all these things to try to reach my prehistoric brain and change those beliefs. But I just found out that when there's trauma, those beliefs live in the reptilian brain, and the executive brain does not communicate with the reptilian brain. So that's why I've been stuck my entire life, because I could not access my reptilian brain. But with EMDR and the steps and this program, and most importantly, with the mighty, mighty power of God, I've been able to begin to identify and replace. I've got to replace those bad beliefs, and I owe that to OA. And I will say just one more thing. Somebody 40 years ago told me that OA was not for bulimics. That is the greatest disservice anybody ever gave me. And when I hear people say that we don't need therapists, my skin crawls, because without that, I wouldn't be able to be where I was today. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much. Thank you. All right. Myra, I didn't get your last initial. Good morning. Was there a Myra? Ah. Press star one. All right.
Sorry about that.
Hi.
I'm sorry. Yeah, this is Myra. BW is my initials. I am so grateful I got on this meeting. I can't tell you. I've been on meetings many a time, these meetings many a times, and something told me today, I was sitting at my desk, you know, just get on and listen. And I'm so glad I did, because this reading is so me, you know, trying to run my show, and I believe in God, but I feel lately there's been a big disconnect between me and my higher power, huge. And I know for me, my experience is that when that happens, I do go back into the food. And last night I got into some foods last night. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, that's okay. That's last night. Today is a new day. Like, I can't focus on that. It's what I'm going to do differently, you know. But this sick addict here of this, you know, I'm so sick that I know, you know, I've worked, you know, many OA programs before, and doesn't matter what I know, it's what I do, it's the action that I take. But I feel lately there's been this real big disconnect between me and my higher power. I don't know what that's about. A part of me feels like after my dad died unexpectedly in May, I've just felt like this just sadness and just kind of like, ugh, you know, and I don't want to be in that space. I want to be free from food. When I hear people talk about that, I think to myself, what the flip is wrong with me? You know, like, what is the deal? Like, what am I missing? I need the steps. I work another program that's a little bit more, I don't want to say rigid, but it's very disciplined, and I commit my food and I do my reading and my writing and blah, 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 blah. But there's something else more that I'm needing, and I don't know what that is. And then when I get on these meetings and I listen to you, the big book, it's like, that's what it is. You know, I'm missing that good, you know, spiritual reading and the steps and how we work this program and how it works. I know this program works. I believe in the big book. But I just am having this hard time of taking action, maybe. I don't know. And I guess I'm kind of thinking out loud. Maybe I'll get some feedback here later. But anyway, I just thank you all for being on this meeting this morning. I heard what I needed to hear. And most importantly is that my reliance has to be on God and God alone, and not whether I'm committing my food or not committing my food, or if I'm calling people or not calling people. You know, that's great, but it needs to be on God and only God. So with that, I pass. And again, I thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Myra, for taking us out. And thank you all who gave service to this Wednesday meeting. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Robin DZ to read a vision for you. Good morning, Robin. Press star 1 to unmute, Robin. I can't hear you.
Okay, I'm here. Sorry about that.
That's it. Okay, thanks.
Page 164. Our book
yeah,
is meant
Robin,
to be suggested
Robin, you're very
only.
Soft. So, Robin?
Yeah.
There you are.
Can
All
you
right.
hear me?
Now I can.
Okay.
Yes.
Sorry about that. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house isn't in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Live freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny.